I read now from 2 Timothy 2 and verse 2. You need not turn to it. You know it. The things which you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, these entrust to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. And my first point is that we as older believers, if we are to encourage spiritual growth, need to take younger believers as proteges, as students, take them under us, groom them, cherish them, nourish them, and they will be ready for the years to come. A few examples. When Moses was called upon to lead the children of Israel out of Egypt, he was an old man. But he had a young man under him whom he groomed and trained. And that's the theme that I want to leave with us on point one. Joshua, we read, in two places, was a young man. And I'm so glad to see so many young people, men and women. Young people, don't waste your youth. Did you hear me? You only come this way once. Don't waste it. It was Israeli who said, youth is a blunder. Manhood a struggle, and old age a regret. I hope you will never have to say that. But if you don't want to say that, you must start now to be the man or the woman that you hope to be. The boy is the father of the man. He decides what the man is going to be like. And the girl is the mother of the woman. Don't waste your youth. Now, the first thing that we notice about Joshua, after we're told that he's young, we understand, and we are told in the Word of God, in Exodus chapter 24, that he was a helper of Moses. A helper. Now, many people today want to start at the top, and if you start at the top, you're going to fall. Start at the bottom as a helper. In 1 Corinthians 12, there are listed many gifts. And among the many gifts is the gift of helps, but I hear so little about that. But young men and women, if you're going to be successful in the work of the Lord, you must first learn how to help. And helping is a very important thing. A good assistant always makes a good leader. Now, you pardon the personal reference, but in my own work, when I went to do certain surgery, there were certain people I refused to have work with me. They didn't know how to assist. They wanted to operate. Now, I'll give you a little free advice. Nobody likes surgery. But there are times when we are forced to have surgery, or at least it's recommended. Now, you always ask the surgeon this. Do you like to operate?
Oh, yes.
Do you like to assist? Well, not particularly. Go to the next one. Don't settle for him. Do you like to operate?
Yes.
Do you like to assist? Oh, yes, I enjoy it. Take him. We must learn first to assist. And young men and women, I recommend to you assisting. Now, not only was Joshua of help, but as time went on, he developed and he grew. One time he was returning with Moses from the mountain, and they heard a noise. Joshua said, oh, the people are at war. Moses said, no, that's the noise of singing. He needed discernment. And so as the young people are embraced by us, and may I suggest this, take one or two, and protect them, groom them, cherish them, train them, one or two. That was done for me, you know. There was a young brother in the meeting, and he had to be young. He died at age 39. Oh, but he was so nice to me. He took me, as it were, under his wings, and he would get permission from my parents to say, I'm taking Arthur to such and such a meeting. Now, Arthur, when you get there, I want you to testify just 3 minutes. That's all. You see, our meeting was large, 300 people. A little boy, 10 years old, standing up before 300 people. No, no, that wouldn't do. So he took us to a smaller place. Then the next time it was 5 minutes. And after a while, I found myself giving a message for 15 minutes. That's grooming. And that's what we recommend, that the older ones take certain individuals under your wings and develop. That's what Moses did. And then another time, Joshua heard other people prophesying. Oh, he ran to Moses. Moses, there's some people out there prophesying. They're competing with you. Moses said, that's good. Don't worry. Don't exalt me. Don't exalt any man. God has servants all over. There is to be no rivalry in the service of the Lord. You see, he's growing. And Moses is teaching him. And then we go on, and Moses is able to send him in as a spy. He had developed. Only two of them. And then one day, the Lord said to Moses, now Moses, you're leaving. Appoint Joshua in your place. He has grown. He's developed. You have taken him under your wings, and he's now ready to lead. You know the story. Then I think of another two. Elijah and Elisha. You remember when Elijah was told to anoint Elisha as prophet, and he threw his garment upon him. Now that's in chapter 19 of 1 Kings. And you read no more about them until you come to 2 Kings chapter 2. But that's a lapse of 10 years. We don't know what happened in that 10 years. But when Elijah was going to be taken to heaven, he asked Elijah, what do you want? I want a double portion of your spirit. Something happened in those 10 years. Elisha saw something in those 10 years. Why, you have the same thing with Naomi and Ruth. You know, oh, I think those words of Ruth are wonderful. Some people tell me that the Bible is against women. You pardon the expression, that's nonsense. Do you know a nobler expression anywhere than the expressions of Ruth? Your God will be my God. Your people will be my people. Where you go, I will go, and where you die, I will die. That's noble. I wonder why she felt that way. She must have seen something in Naomi. I ask you, older brothers and sisters, what do they see in you? What are we showing to these young people so as to encourage them in the way of the Lord? What are they seeing? I was about to say I have a favorite granddaughter, but that wouldn't be true. I love them all. But that first one, I remember I used to walk along with her, and we would just talk. We would take her to school, and she would just talk. And coming out here, I had to go to the airport, and she came by with her little one, and I thought that the little one and my wife would go together. She said, no, I want you all to stay home. I'll take Granddaddy, and I'll come back. I thought that was a little unusual. But after we got partway, she said, Grandpa, I want to talk to you. That's why she didn't want him. And we went into one of our talks. And in the course of conversation, she said this. My husband, Reggie, has been noticing certain people that go to church and claim they're church people, but all they want is money. I ask you, child of God, what are these youngsters seeing in you? And remember, their sense of discernment is quite good. You're not deceiving them. What do they see in us as older ones? Let me read a little poem here. I'm a lover of poetry. Most of you know this. The Bridge Builder? How many of you are familiar with that? Oh, sure. Well, our brother's a literary student. He wouldn't know the Bridge Builder. An old man, traveling along a lone highway, came at evening, cold and gray, to a chasm vast and deep and wide. There's the old man. The old man crossed in the twilight dim. The swollen stream had no fear for him. But he turned when safe on the other side and built a bridge to span the tide. Old man, said a fellow traveler, you're wasting your strength in building here. Your journey will end with the ending day. You never are going to cross this way again. You've crossed the chasm deep and wide. Why are you building this bridge at eventide? Now you know the answer. The last verse. Though. The old man says, good friend, in the path that I have come, There follows after me today a youth whose feet must pass this way. That's why he was built. This chasm has been not to me, but to that youth it may a pitfall be. He too must cross in the twilight dim. Good friend, I'm building for him. Child of God, are you building for anybody? Any of these young people? Are you so walking that if they walk in your footsteps, they would do well? Reminds me of another story. The story of a father had a young boy, and as he would go to work every morning, he would stop off at the bar and grill for an alcoholic drink. Well, the snow had fallen and was quite deep, and there was father going to work, and as he neared the bar and grill, he heard a voice behind him, "Daddy, I am walking in your footsteps." Did he go to the bar and grill? Oh, no. I say again to us that are older, there are young people watching us, looking at us, and we need to be exceedingly careful. Now, there is an expression in the Old Testament that occurs several times. The sons of the prophets. The sons of the prophets. It doesn't mean that the prophets sired these individuals. It was rather a school that they were attending. And they had pupils. Oh, by the way, every believer is a pupil. All believers are disciples. The word disciple, well, we were taught in Sunday school, it means a follower. But that's only half of it. He follows to learn. And God expects each of us to learn. We are all in school. And there they had the school of the prophets. And we as believers need to get together, not only as assemblies, but in private. And the effect that it will have on our youngsters, you have no idea. Let me give you another personal example. See, most of what I'm saying is personal. It happened to me. That's how I know it works. On Wednesday night, my dad had at home, just about five or six brethren. And they would come for Bible study. I was about seven or eight. And I would listen to them. And they would say, "Oh, brother, that was precious." And I wonder what was wrong with him. Oh, but something happened. I got on my knees and I asked the Lord to let me see in the Bible what they were seeing. And he answered my prayer. Oh, beloved, in your homes, get the family together. I think of some families that they're so busy here, there, and other ways, other places. And there is now, I don't know what your situation is, but there is one thing that I object to very strongly. If you can avoid it, don't put your child in some nursery for somebody to teach. Keep the child at home and live Christ. Teach the child Christ. That's another thing I go back. When I went to Sunday school, there wasn't one hymn they sang that my mother had not taught me. That's what I'm talking about. That's what I mean. Groom the children. Take someone, if not your own, under your arm and train that child. We had a Bible class at our home back in New York for many years. Oh, we had some nice times. Now, there are two elders in the assembly at Grace Gospel Chapel in New York City. And where do you think they met their wives? At the Bible class. I think that's wonderful. But we must go on. Time is moving. Asaph. We don't read too much about Asaph, and most believers don't know much about Asaph. But David took Asaph under his wing, so to speak, and he assigned him to be a singer and to play musical instruments. A little later, seeing that Asaph was a responsible person, he gave it a psalm to sing and to play. And then a little later, under Solomon, David is gone. Asaph was still singing and playing. In 2 Chronicles we read, Asaph had grown and developed. He was now a seer and a prophet. But David took him under his wing. And years after, when Asaph was dead, we read that his sons were singers and instrumentalists. That's what I'm talking about. Taking their beloved young one under our wings, under our arms, and training and developing. Then I think of our Lord Jesus Christ. You read in the Gospel of Mark, He chose 12 to be with Him and to send them out to preach. And He was a good teacher. There's something I noticed about the 12. And you check it when you go home. Do you know they were slow learners? Check the number of times where they didn't understand what He was saying, when they didn't appreciate what He was saying. But the Lord never dismissed them. And so it is with our young people. They don't always understand what we say. They don't always appreciate what we're telling them. Don't give them up. Be like the Lord Jesus Christ, kind and gentle. He was a strong teacher, a kind teacher. And so it must be as we deal with the younger folks in the assemblies. I often hear so much criticism of the young, the young, the young. Fine. But what about the old, the old, the old? They're not often setting a very good example. When I read of another, John Mark, read about him in Acts, you know, and the Bible says that he was an attendant of Paul and Barnabas. Barnabas and Paul. Now, you see there, at certain points in Scripture, you read of Barnabas and Paul, and then it turns around Paul and Barnabas. That's a good study. Find out why that is so. But he was an attendant of Barnabas, and Paul. They went to Jerusalem. And the Bible doesn't say why, but the young man Mark left there. And then in chapter 15, you remember that contention that they had, because Barnabas wanted to take Mark, and Saul said no. Now, I'm not saying who was right and who was wrong. But as you turn the pages of Scripture, you read this. Paul said, that man, John Mark, is useful for me. He was restored. And when you find youngsters in the assembly straying away, and we have a lot of them in New York City, don't give up on them. Pray that they will be restored. Peter is speaking of this same John Mark. He is my son. And you know what is the greatest mark of restoration of John Mark? One day the God the Father said, John Mark, I want you to write the gospel according to Mark. That's restoration. That's what we need to aim for with our young people. They're not perfect. As a matter of fact, the older people aren't perfect either. You know that. We've all, we made a few mistakes. Not too many. Then we come to Paul with Timothy and Titus. We cannot go into detail. That plot moves just as fast as the one out east. But he took both of these under his wings. Read how he had them travel with him. And then after a while he was able to send them to various places. They were growing and developing. But you know the thing that appeals to me most? He wrote a letter to Titus, and he wrote two letters to Timothy. And sometimes our young people go far away to school and elsewhere. Maintain contact. Write letters. I remember when I was away at school, I will never forget. I'm sorry I didn't keep it. My mother wrote me a letter based on Psalm 37. I tell you, it was precious and profound. Maintain contact with the youngsters who are away at school. Show an interest in them. I think again of another brother who was very helpful to me. He was in Israel. And he wrote me a lovely letter. Dear Arthur, plan to stop the practice of medicine and surgery and go into the Lord's service with all your strength and might. Well, that was encouraging. And the Lord made it. We need to encourage. We criticize too much. Always finding fault. When I was young, I didn't do this. We all did the same thing. You know that. Let's stop criticizing them and encouraging them and bring them before the Lord. Writing letters. What a source of joy and information. Now I'm going to go on to the second aspect of our consideration. Serving the Lord and working in the assembly and encouraging spiritual growth. The second point. Jeremiah 6 and 16. Just the first part. Thus says the Lord, stand by the ways, see and ask for the old path, the ancient path, where the good way is, and walk in it. The old path. Now do you remember the Athenians there in the book of Acts? They weren't interested in anything old. They only wanted to discuss things that were new. And I think that was, for the most part, just a bunch of scandal. That's all they were interested in. Something new. Why, do you know, beloved, that old things have great worth? You ever went to the antique store? Near where we lived when we first went to Maryland, was a variety store. Old trinkets. I tell you, those window cases were beautiful. You went in and everything was beautiful. And a few feet away was an antique store. And I'm no lover of antiques, but I tell you, you needed money to go in the antique store. Those old things had great value. They talk about air pollution and water pollution. The old air and the old water weren't polluted. It's the new one that's polluted. Old things are good. Our brother was speaking about the King James Bible. Do you know what King James used to do? When he bought a new pair of shoes, he said the old ones are more comfortable. And being a man of means, he'd get a servant to break in the new pair. Old things. Don't be afraid of the things, old coins, old books, old friends. I could list a number of old things. And there are some old things, one old thing only, that I want to call to our attention. When I was a youngster coming up, at frequent intervals in the assembly, we had series of meetings. You cannot cover the Word of God as it should be covered. Prayer and Bible teaching on Wednesday, and prayer and Bible teaching another Wednesday. You can't study, you can't learn the Word of God that way. You need consecutive meetings, night after night. Now, don't tell me about the conditions. I know all about the conditions. I know all about the safety factors and all that. I'm recommending series of meetings. I think of one, and all the old, now the younger people, I wouldn't ask you to raise your hand. You may not even know about this. That chart from eternity to eternity. Anybody familiar with it? Oh, I learned a lot from that chart. There you get a panorama of God's ways and working from a past eternity to eternity future. On that chart, you got an insight into what we call dispensational teaching. From that chart, you got an insight as to how to rightly divide the word of truth. We need to get back to those things, beloved. Night after night. Egypt to Canaan. Oh, my. What a study that was. I was in high school. A brother was invited to speak on the chart, Egypt to Canaan, for 2 weeks. The interest was so great, he remained 6 weeks, and I didn't miss one meeting. I didn't fail in school either. If you honor God, he'll honor you, young people. Come to the meeting. Oh, you say to me, times have changed. Well, yes and no. The Lord hasn't changed. The Bible hasn't changed. And prayer hasn't changed. The Holy Spirit has a whole lot of things that haven't changed. The tabernacle. What a study that is. What a study. We had a brother recently. Let's see. Yes. Many of you probably know him. Brother Sheridan, I forget his first name. What's his name? Now, this happened just a few weeks ago. Well, the saints don't come out. I want to tell you they came out. The trouble is we don't do these things. The trouble is not with the saints, it's with the leadership. Have a series of meetings. Here this brother started on a weekend and went through every night in the week, and the hall was full every night, mothers with little ones in their arms. And then did he take those that were a little older, have them sit in one place, give them a little talk first, and then speak to everybody, and then come back to them. I remember one night I went there, they were reviewing the previous night's lesson. Boys and girls, what is the ark? A box. That's all it was. Boys and girls, what was the mercy seat? The cover on the box. Little children, it was delightful. Bringing out things both old and new. Oh, beloved, this is what I would like to see. And it's this sort of thing I believe our assemblies need. Go over these things. Series of meetings, night after night. And people came out. Why, do you know at those series of meetings I saw people, believers, whom I hadn't seen for 5 years? They were there. The saints want to be fed. And it's our responsible to go back to some of these old things, as they call. I think of a recent happening. Oh, it's what, maybe 3 years ago. Camp Galilee in Canada. I don't see our brother here. His dad spoke every night up there for the week. No, in fact, he started on the Saturday and went through to the following Friday. Brother Jabe Nicholson, Sr. The priesthood of the Lord Jesus Christ as shown and demonstrated in the book of Exodus. Illustrations. What the mitre was and what the ephod was. Oh, it was good. And we learned so much. Beloved, these are the things we need to get back to. Don't worry about these new style things. It's the old things. And I think of another series that we have often had. Series on Daniel the prophet. Chapter 2. By the last time we considered that, we still haven't finished. And most people make the least of that. That's a wonderful study, especially when you get down there to the foot and the 10 toes. That's what we're seeing today. And then chapter 7. And then chapter 8. Well, do you know that? Read chapter 8 carefully and go back to history books and see that everything that's in chapter 8 was predicted 300 or 400 years before it really happened. That'll fascinate you. You young people, there's a lot in the Bible. I wish I had time. I'd tell you about some of the things in the Bible. I'm going to take time for one. I just want to show you how interesting, not interesting, how fascinating the Bible is. Now, how many of you know what CPR is? Well, put your hand on mine. Don't be afraid. Fine, you know what CPR is. Good. When you do CPR, do you put the patient's face down or do you turn it up? No. Face up or face down. It's important. CPR, face up. All right. When I went to school, they taught me to put face down. They have learned a lot since. Well, how did Elijah treat that child when he restored it? Was it face up or down? It had to be up because he breathed into the child's mouth. Same thing we do today. And every time he breathed, he massaged the heart. That's the Bible. That's the book. Get interested in the young people and learn the Bible. But we go back to some of the old things. The seven churches of Asia. Fascinating study. Beautiful chart. And there are so many ways of looking at it. You can look at it historically, you can look at it locally, and you can look at it personally. And most of us like to think we're in the Philadelphia stage. Well, I'm not going to say anything. I will say a word. But I'm suggesting that we get back to these old studies. Now, time is moving. Point number 3. I'm going to read 1 John chapter 2, verse 18. Children, it is the last hour. Just as you heard that Antichrist is coming, and we're all talking about Antichrist, where is he coming from? What is he going to look like? You know what John says? Way back there in 100 AD, he said, even now, there are many Antichrists. Well, if there were many Antichrists when John was around, I want to tell you a whole lot more today. And we need to know as believers who these Antichrists are and what God would have us to do in dealing with them. The cult. and how to recognize them. Now, beloved, what I'm about to say and what I have said, these are things that I am impressed should be spoken to the Lord's people from the platform. We need to tell them these things. It's our responsibility. The new age. Well, read Isaiah 2 and 6. Influences from the east. We need to know that. We need to tell our youngsters about it. Why, this is a terrible thing. One of my granddaughters came to the house and I saw her lying on the floor, looking under the sofa. I said, well, why are you doing this? Well, the teacher said that's one way to improve your eyesight. Nonsense. That's demonism. And I told her mother, look after this child, check the school, and get her out. She's out today. That's what they're doing. All of these things are creeping in, and we as believers aren't even aware of what's happening. The theory of evolution. Total nonsense. But do you know they're teaching this to your children at school? Look at their school books. I remember when our second daughter was in fourth grade, and I always looked at their books. Oh, I don't know what they're teaching. Now, when I went to school, we spoke of geography. Well, they're more advanced today. They call it earth science. Now, watch those fancy terms. They are a cover for ignorance. Earth science. So I opened the book to page, a little after the introduction there, page 1. The origin of the earth. Long ago, there was a ball of fire. And a piece split off and formed the earth. I said to my wife, they're teaching this child evolution, and we just wait. I'm in my study, and up comes my second girl, Dolores is her name. And you that are parents, you know when children are after you. She came up, Daddy. Oh, I knew something was up. Yes, Dolores, what is it? How do you know that God created the heavens and the earth? Fourth grade? I said, well, why do you ask? Said, don't get ruffled, don't get upset. Why do you ask? Well, the teacher said that the earth came from a large ball of fire. I said, go back and ask the teacher who saw it. But we must be aware of these things, beloved. And I still say we need to speak these things more from the platform. Let all the believers know, and especially those of you that are raising children. Present day Antichrist. ACLU. I'm glad that you laughed. American Civil Liberties Union. Liberty for everybody but God, the Christians, the Bible, and those that love God. Your children need to know about it. Just about 3 years ago, I was at a certain place speaking to youngsters, and I like to speak to young people. Oh, this is wonderful. They're the ones that are coming up. They're the ones, if the Lord tarries, that through whom the assembly must continue. And I mentioned the ACLU, one lovely young girl. First year college, what is the ACLU? I say that every believer in the assembly should know what it is and what it stands for and how God would have us to work against it. Planned Parenthood. That's Antichrist. Yeah, it's Planned Parenthood. That's right. Abort them all. But you have to know how to deal with the abortionist. You don't do it out in our area, go and shoot him. No. Bible doesn't tell you. That's not the way to do it. You've got not only to know these antichrists, but how God would have us to deal with them. And they have a new one now. Religious cleansing. Remember that one? Religious cleansing. about Brother Spoke and I just mentioned.
You go over what he says.
Non-sexist Bible.
See?
God is neither male or female. And some of them are making him neuter from what I've read. And the hymn books. Oh, they're changing the hymn books. There must be no military hymns. We are a peace-loving people. Therefore, we must not sing Onward Christian Soldier. We're not to fight. And a lot of the Lord's people are taking that in and don't sing those hymns. We are supposed to fight. We are in a warfare. These are antichrists. We need to recognize them. Oh, my. Now, some of you here may be in the educational field. I am not an educator. There is that which is known as the National Education Association. Anti-God, anti-Christ, anti-everything worthwhile. Children finish high school today and can't read. They finish college and can't think. The National Education Association. Just last Saturday, I was speaking to a lady. I noticed that she had a very pomp way about her. And finally sat at the table where we were. I am a professor at a certain college, and I teach higher mathematics. So I asked, well, now tell me, how is it that a child in fourth grade, third grade, doesn't know the multiplication table? Oh, that's no longer necessary. That's why they don't know anything when they come out of school. That's the National Education Association. I had another one, and I was saying, why don't they teach them the alphabet? They don't need to know the alphabet till they're ready to use a dictionary. But how will you know where to turn in the dictionary if you don't know where the word starts? Beloved, these are antichrists. And this is the sort of thing that is entering the schools. Be very careful.
Well, I wouldn't say anything about ecumenicism. You know about it.
The feminist movement. They call it the... What do they call it? The feminine mystique. Be careful when they use those foreign words. Turn it around into plain English. It's not the feminine mystique, it's the feminine mistake. And we need to know these things. And we need to be able to point them out to our children. And beloved, I say again, this is not the sort of thing, in my opinion, that has to be done in the home. This should be done from our platform. Let the saints know what's going on in the world around us. Then we have several movements. All in favor of world domination. And I don't know how many believers here know about these. You know about the Illuminati? Yeah, some do. The Trilateral Commission? And who's on it? You'd be surprised who's on it. I will tell you. The Council of Foreign Affairs? You know who's behind that? Do you know what their object is? The Freemasons. Now, the fellow at Lowdown, he doesn't know what it's all about. It's that fellow that's up there. He knows what the nations are after. World domination. The environmentalists. The little bird up there in North California. Oh, please save him. But kill all the children you can. That's where we stand. These are antichrists. Let me warn you again, and I'll be finishing in another couple of minutes. The comics. Child of God, beware of the comics. A good percentage of the comics in these newspapers are anti-God and anti-Christ. Be careful about your children reading and enjoying the comics. And the games that they play, watch those. Well, they got demons and dungeons, dragons, something. Sister in California asked me to pray for her son. Oh, he was absorbed in this thing. I went back a year later and happily, with prayer of many, he was delivered from it and went on to a Bible school.
We need to be careful of these things. These are present-day antichrists. I'm going to stop. I recommend three things. That we take our young people under our wings, groom them, cherish them, train them, and if they make a mistake, that's no reason to give up on them. Secondly, I recommend what I came upon, to have series of meetings. The saints will come. They'll find a way to get there. Don't tell me that they live so far from the building that they can't come. Just have the meetings. You'll see what will happen. Series of meetings, audio-visual aid, charts, projectors, anything that will help. And finally, let us all beware of the present-day Antichrist. Don't be concerned too much about the Antichrist. He's coming. We won't be here. But he's got a lot of them around, little Antichrist, working against the child of God. And it's for us to know who they are and how God will have us to work against them. May the Lord bless us.